world without disease, starvation, violence, and suffering is the ultimate destination of humanity. Getting there will require voters to base their decisions on statistical cost-benefit analyses. The power of numbers can make utopia a reality. Think by numbers, because numbers don't lie.
What would have happened if we let AIG fail? The average American household in America had to shell out around $2,000 to make sure that AIG counterparties wouldn't have to accept the risk they took. Would the world have really ended if we let AIG declare Chapter 11 bankruptcy? To answer this question, we have to understand why was AIGFP, better known as American International Group's Financial Products Division, why were they in financial trouble? To understand this, we have to know what a credit default swap is. Here's how we're going to describe this. A credit default swap is an agreement between two parties that works like a side bet on a football game. The credit default swap seller promises to pay the swap buyer a set amount if Widgets or Us defaults, often $10 million. Now, they receive annual payments from the swap buyer in return for, if you could put your fingers in the air and do one of those little quotation marks, in return for insurance. Now, the credit default swap seller can include banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, and others. Now, let's look at the credit default swap buyer. Again, this person promises quarterly payments to the seller. They receive a promise of a large payout if the bond defaults, and these can include banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, and others. Now, if Widgets or Us, if their financial fortunes turn sour, the swap becomes more valuable. A swap holder can resell it and get high payments in return. So what caused AIG to fail? Allegations of accounting irregularities caused AIGs to be downgraded from AAA to A credit rating. This downgrade triggered provisions in some of AIGFP's credit default swaps, which required AIG to provide billions of dollars in collateral to their counterparties. Counterparties are companies like Goldman Sachs, which bought credit default swaps from AIGFP to insure against mortgage defaults within their mortgage-backed securities. Let's look at the government again. If you could put your fingers in the air and do the little quotation things. Government loans. Now, since AIG didn't have the money to put up this collateral, the government loaned them $170 billion. This was called a loan, but there is almost no chance that the loan will ever be repaid. This is because the AIGFP division has no intrinsic worth and has no prospects for significant future income since the real estate bubble in which it thrived on has burst. As of 2011, $11.4 billion has been repaid. AIG recently released a list of their counterparties who received the bailout money. Most of this American taxpayer money went to European banks. So, was the bailout really necessary? On April 2nd, Hank Greenberg, who's the former CEO of AIG, testified before Congress that the taxpayer would have been much better off if the government had allowed AIGFP to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy. We have a link to the video out at our website, thinkbynumbers.org. Through this process, AIGFP would be broken up and sold off. The proceeds would go to their creditors. If this were to occur, the counterparties would have only received maybe 20 or 30% of the money that AIG owed them. But Greenberg said it definitely would not have led to systematic failure of the entire financial system. It makes sense. For instance, Goldman Sachs received $12.9 billion in counterparty payments. That's far less than the $18 billion that they spent on executive bonuses in 2007. So the receipt of only $3 billion through an AIG bankruptcy settlement would not have broken them, but it would have certainly brought down executive compensation. So what was the real motivation? Numerous congressmen have requested the Treasury Department's explicit explanation of how AIGFP's divisions, their bankruptcy, would destabilize our entire country's financial system. Naturally, the Treasury has failed to provide a description of this scenario. This, in conjunction with the fact that Goldman Sachs was President Obama's number one campaign contributor, should make anyone suspicious of our government's motives. In fact, Goldman Sachs has spent over $43 million on political contributions. This is a paltry sum compared to the tens of billions they made off the AIG bailout. So how much did the bailout cost you? The bottom line is that the average household in America had to shell out around $2,000 to make sure that AIG's counterparties, their giant financial institutions, would have to accept the risk which they made when they allowed a private entity, AIG, to insure on their behalf with a public statement that they were able to evaluate. Losses are socialized and profits are privatized. I can guarantee that each household would not have received $2,000 from AIG had these investments turned out to be successful. There are some great infographics that go along with this episode, so come visit us out at our website, thinkbynumbers.org. There are the infographics, there are other links, and more information. Again, the website, thinkbynumbers.org. And don't believe everything you think.